Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work and got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard time.
Baby oil and blow. It's me, the big O baby. Matt O with me as always. He is the axe to my smash. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Nate Adams.
Hoi hoi, bitches.
That's lively, pal. I like that.
Yeah, high energy today.
We got over everybody being dead.
Oh, it's been rough. I spent a lot of days drinking in a row last week.
I don't see what's wrong with that.
Well, this week, you know, I spent a lot of days not drinking in a row is a problem, which means now I haven't slept in like 24 hours because I've been trying to be sober.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
I got a real life. I'm doing human being things.
Took like an hour to lay down, reset my mind.
Like a baby.
And it took like an hour to do some yoga, get my blood flowing. I think I'm going to get through this.
Yeah, shout out to DDP.
Man, 24 hours ago, I was watching the episode we're going to review in this show, and I haven't slept since.
I'd just like to say, with your active lifestyle of yoga and drinking, you're equal parts Scott Hall and DDP.
That's kind of true, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe DDP could help me out here, because I got this problem where I need, say, conservatively, a good 8 to 10 ounces of brown liquor every night to go to sleep.
That sounds more like a Scott Hall problem.
Well, exactly. But then you get the DDP problem where, you know, 8 to 10 ounces of brown liquor, that's a lot of calories. I can't be eating all those empty calories every day. I need to get my protein in so I can stay huge, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a catch, man.
That's why I need somebody to come up with protein whiskey. A little DDP protein whiskey, maybe?
Maybe just start drinking Zimas.
Have they got protein in Zimas?
Oh, I don't see why they wouldn't.
They said that Zowie was
Zowie.
That was their catchphrase.
I thought it was Zima tastes like zit.
I just couldn't assume that meant it was like an amphetamine of some sort. Oh. Not necessarily that it was gonna.
No, I mean, you got to snort it for that though.
Okay. Yeah, either I need way. Like some DDP protein whiskey. Some sort of like little tagline like
maybe
like stay jacked, not sober.
Yeah,
and then I could live my life.
Stay
like
jacked, Jack.
Yeah, every night.
Wasn't
just
saying
like
Jack all the time.
10 ounces of brown liquor, you get like a good, like, I don't know, maybe 30 grams of protein in there. I'm feeling good. I'll do that every night. That'll just be a meal of mine.
Pound a couple of those
fine.
Before work.
And then I'm feeling sloppy.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have protein farts while I'm sleeping. Oof. Whatever, it's going to put me right out.
Oof. Hopefully none of them protein pukes, man. That room starts spinning.
Oh, no, that won't happen to me. I just put the one foot down on off the bed onto the floor, and then I feel great.
That's pro status right there.
Oh, there's beer right here.
Oh, so man, we got the Steve Weisers going.
That's
going
to be a lot of empty calories while we're recording this.
Yeah, but we're going to need a lot of these Steve Weisers to get through tonight's show, because where are we at tonight?
Oh, yeah, that's good and lukewarm. I like it.
Yeah, buddy.
Tonight, we're back down WCW watching some Jim Crockett Promotions. Little Mid-Atlantic / Georgia Championship Wrestling. They just sort of blended together. That's why there's 1 million titles and 1 million wrestlers and just not enough spots on each one of these goddamn jam-packed shows for all of them.
And a whole lot of awful.
But a few pieces of greatness here and there.
That's
World
fair.
Championship Wrestling from November 9th, 1985 is what we are going to review this week.
Want to run down that card? Just get it out of the way?
There's a lot of... Got to do these quick results up top, because when you're watching these jam-packed fucking shows, there's a lot of results, so you gotta keep them quick.
Get them out of the way so we can set it up for, what do we set it up for?
Set it up for that five count.
That five count.
I have till five!
Five, maybe not necessarily highlights, maybe lowlights, the five things that stood out to you the most while you were watching the episode. Before that, though, these quick results. We got our first match, the Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez.
Oh, Manny Fur?
Yeah, you remember him from last week.
I sure do. Different
this
tights
week,
this week. Different
this week,
tights.
He's looking not better, not worse, the same, mediocre, and different tights. He's wrestling a man named Vernon Deaton, which are two words that I didn't know. Syllables that could go together make a word, quite really. Manny controls the whole match, hits him with the Flying Burrito.
Vernon not as Deaton's good as last week.
Not really like in position to be pinned there.
No. Nope.
Like, jobber kind of like rolled out too far. So then instead of just like pinning him like an idiot, Manny's got some ring awareness. He drags him to the middle of the ring, drops a big second rope knee on his head, and
looked
then he
good.
Pins him.
Looked
yeah,
good.
Sure, sure. He did great. Second match, Ole and Arn Anderson, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, versus Keith Freeze and our old boy, White Lightning, Jim Blackland.
Yeah, Jimmy Blackland.
He's got the same tights on these
back in the powder blue.
Yeah, there you go. Arn pins Freeze after a gourd buster, after they kick the shit out of these guys.
And work the arm the whole match.
Moving on to not only the World Tag Team Champions, but the World Six-Man Tag Team Champions, the Russians, Ivan and Nikita Koloff and Crusher Khrushchev.
Crusher Khrushchev.
They're fighting three jobbers named Jimmy Langston, Kent Glover, and Larry Clark. If you found a way to tell them apart, who's who, you're a better man than me. Nikita kills the scrawny one in the baby blue tights after hitting him with that Russian sickle.
Yep.
It looks pretty devastating. He dead.
Quick tags, good stuff. They did it.
After that, Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, boy.
Ricky and Robert. They're against the Jeffers brothers, Jim and Mac. Robert,
couple blue chippers.
Gets the pin after a double dropkick. Moving on to Billy Jack Haynes versus Thunderfoot. Thunderfoot cornered by manager of champions, J.J. Dillon, but doesn't quite do the trick for him because Billy Jack gets him with a roll-up after J.J. and old Manny Fernandez cause some distractions, and there's a little bit of chaos. Moving on to another match. And yes, this is just, you know, a 90-minute show, ladies and gentlemen. They still got more matches.
Packing it in.
Stonehands, Ron Garvin versus a guy named Paul Garner. Yeah, this match is so boring that they started in with, you know, Davy Crockett's doing some don't try this at home PSAs instead of just like calling the action. Yeah.
Yeah, or just let Paul Garner's great pit hair speak for itself. How about that?
It did. That's all. I was so entranced by it, I couldn't even tell how the match ended. But Ron Garvin won, needless to say.
He punched him in the head.
With those stone hands. Pinned him. Next up, we've got The Barbarian. He's against Gerald Finley.
You mean The Barbarian?
That would be a completely different. That might be an interesting
I'm just
gimmick.
Going by what Jim Crockett said earlier in the show, but you go ahead.
Barbie with a diving headbutt didn't take long.
Against Gerald Finley, Dave's cousin.
Maybe.
Dave Finley's
who
cousin.
Can say. Moving on to Tully Blanchard. You know, cornered by Baby Doll, of course.
The perfect 10.
Perfect 10 Baby Doll. Against Joe Malcolm, Tully makes it look easy. Puts him in with a slingshot suplex real quick. We got a lot of squash matches on
real
this show.
Easy. So much so that we got room for one more.
Final one more?
Yeah.
Nobody asked for it, but you got it anyways.
There he is.
There we go. Terry Taylor versus great jobber name, Amos Moses.
Oh, I'm Amos Moses.
Yes. I don't know. This guy got potential. You should give him a character, not just have him getting... I gotta tell you, I fell asleep about halfway through this match. Terry Taylor, so boring. I don't know how it ended. I'm gonna assume they gave Terry Taylor the win.
What happened? Superplex.
Just trying to think back
superplex
on it.
Superplex off
glaze
the
over.
Second rope.
Yeah,
was the big finish.
You don't even stand up on that top rope.
No,
so
hell no. Oh, just the
Terry
second
Taylor,
rope.
Go away.
All you missed in that, pal, was the audience went into business for themselves.
Falling asleep.
No, yelling at the ref.
Curling up and taking naps on the chairs.
That Amos Moses tapped out. You know, like, ask him. Did he tap? Yes.
Ask him, ref.
Ask him. There's a lot of that going on
Amos
in this
Moses
show.
Amos Moses wouldn't give up. I like the fight in his eyes.
You also missed a big happy 69th anniversary to the Dawsons.
Oh, that I
from
knew
New
that,
York.
Okay, I've got that.
Yeah.
I think it's not one of my five in our five count, but I've got a little addendum. I might as well. Honorable mention right now, before we even getting into it,
okay.
I'm going to say honorable mention thing that stood out to me about this episode, Terry Taylor sucks. He does a promo early.
Red Rooster.
It's just Boring.
Just the same note
monotone,
I have. Right,
like,
there. Red Rooster, boring.
It's like somebody like took like a high school quarterback just from like some Midwestern high school football team and like stuck a microphone in
like
his face.
I like to say it's not just me. It's a team effort. Coach is there. He gave us all
kid.
The plays to do, and we're in this, and we believe in ourselves, and thank you, Jesus, and thank you to my parents, and we're trying real hard, and we're going to win state this year.
This guy, famously, big chip on his shoulder for getting saddled with that Red Rooster gimmick where he had a shock of red hair going down the middle of his blonde locks. And
which
he had
is the most exciting part of him.
Strut and act like a rooster coming down to the goddamn ring. He should be kissing Vince McMahon's ass for giving him that gimmick because
for making him exciting.
It's the only thing anyone remembers about him for good reason. Yeah. Nobody would know his goddamn name if he didn't get that gimmick.
No.
And that match, yeah, they started zoning out right on schedule. Right when I started zoning out, they start talking about wedding anniversaries. That's how you know it sucked. Yeah, he always did have nice coats. Maybe that's why he's gone back and forth backstage jobs for the past 20 years. He keeps just getting fired and then going to the competition, firing and going back to Vince.
Coat game second to none, son.
People are just like, you know what? He's a real asshole. Nobody likes him, but he keeps showing up in those nice coats to the office every day. I could see keeping somebody around for that. Yeah. Let's go into our top fives now. Okay. No more, let's not mention Terry Taylor again for the rest of this. So if you picked him as one of your five, on the fly, you got to
write
change
it out
right now.
Just
get rid of it. We're not talking about that asshole anymore.
He was not.
I knew that he wouldn't be.
No.
Let's go into it. What's your first one? What's the first thing you liked?
First thing that caught my attention was the Andersons versus Keith Freeze and Jimmy Lightning Blackland.
That comes as no surprise to me.
Yeah. I'm going to throw it out there because it's overarching and it's in everything. It's the entire show. It jumped out to me how much Dave Crockett, talking about wrestling, he sound like when they're hyping shit, they're hyping matches, they got, the Gathering. Whoop, whoop.
Here we go. Juggalos making their debut.
He's trying to make a big deal out of everything. And he sounds like, when somebody finds out you're really into movies and they want to talk to you about movies, but then
you really like movies? Yeah, did you see that third scary movie?
What do you think about the American Assassin? How's that going to be? And it's like, oh, man, do I just tell you how stupid you are?
Just dated the episode of this podcast right now.
Yeah.
American Assassin?
Yeah.
That movie came out a week ago and nobody remembers it now.
Absolutely.
Imagine if somebody downloads this a year from now.
See, but that's the thing. We're not just here to entertain you with wrestling challenges. There's hidden internet quizzes
throughout
this show. Yeah. Sometimes you got to Bing it yourself. Go find out what Michael Keaton's up to. It's not my job to tell you.
Michael Keaton's in that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel bad for him. He was almost having a little renaissance there for a second. Yeah. And then he comes back with American Assassin. Yeah.
But either way.
Okay, I guess maybe this isn't a Michael Keaton podcast.
We
but
could
keep that in mind. If
for
you want to maybe do a Michael Keaton podcast sometime?
Maybe every fourth show.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. What do we got here? We got the Andersons doing what the Andersons do best. And that's beat people up.
Oh, man, and just having a chip on their shoulder while they're doing it.
Hell yeah.
Why are you making me do this to you?
Yeah. This is your fault.
Look at me. I'm out here looking like a madman. It's all because of you.
One of my favorite parts of this match, Arn Anderson's just taking it to old Jim Blackland, the entire match.
Looking like an angry Ole dad,
comes
tidy whiteys.
Get some hits, quick tags. They got the ring isolated, yada, yada. Finally, Owen comes in for his second or third appearance in the match. And he's just completely beating the ever-loving shit out of Jim Blackland. And he's just like, this guy's got nothing left to offer. Walks Jim Blackland.
Pale skin, too.
Yeah.
Every time he got hit, you could just see the color rising up in it.
So he just walks lifeless Jim Blackland back to his own corner, forces him to tag Keith Freeze so that he can beat the shit out of Keith Freeze.
That's a dad who just walked in on his kid and all his kid's idiot friends doing something stupid, and he's going to punish the whole block.
Yeah.
Not just his kid. You're all
That's
in trouble.
Right. Everybody's getting a little.
So, I'm on the same page here. A little bit. I kind of just said my number one, though, is just the Horsemen dominating this show. Once again, these guys are just the backbone of these shows.
Yeah.
Promotions relying on them so much. Before that, we get a killer Arn promo where he's just fired up and he's making it seem like all the commissioners and GMs and suits and whatnot are complete assholes.
They are.
Because they won't let him keep the TV title that he stole from Dusty Rhodes. He stole it fair and square, people. Now they're going to hold it up and have a tournament? Like,
Rhodes had what, 30 days to defend it?
Tournament for what? Like, it's in Arn Anderson's hands. Like, yeah. If he's holding it, like, what's the problem?
You might have heard of a famous saying, and it's, I'm pretty sure it's in the Constitution. It goes, finders, keepers.
Mm-hmm. What are losers, though? They're keepers also, right?
Losers whine about their best.
Oh, yeah.
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Thank you. That yeah. prom queen. So then, yeah, you move into that awesome match, and these guys are just aggressive. They're just picking people apart, and they're just mad yep. about it. Look like a couple of cops who don't have to wear body cams and are just spending yeah. their whole day beating the shit out of trailer trash and loving every second of it.
Loving every minute.
And then we move
it.
From that right into a Tully Blanchard promo.
Oh,
and this
yeah.
guy's just indignant. He's just got a perma sneer on his face, and he's pissed off about everything.
Imagine.
He's got to fight Magnum TA in a big I Quit cage match coming up. And, you know, he's got a lot of stuff on his mind. He can't. His perfect 10 girlfriend baby doll just got a big old smooch planted on her a couple weeks ago. They keep replaying it.
He calls Magnum out as a rapist,
well,
finally.
No question in
He's
my
like,
mind.
You
got
to force yourself on women because it's probably the only way you get any.
If this was any year other than 1985, yeah. Magnum TA would be getting pulled away in handcuffs, not just half-heartedly pulled off by Davy fucking Crockett, of all people.
I'd like to point out how Mr. Tully points the audience out, calls them all out for being classless.
Well, yeah, he was wearing a suit. And did you see what they were wearing?
I don't know. I thought they looked pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true.
They did. So, Tully, way to go. Call him out. Classless. Everyone's classless. You're a solid dude, and you don't need these backwoods hillbillies.
Mm.
You're right. Mr. Magnum's a rapist. Your lady, she's a perfect 10.
Really hope that he gets what's coming to him in this I Quit cage match.
Do you think lady's second chin is also a perfect 10?
I got to say, usually the production on these Southern wrestling shows, nothing compared to what Vince is doing up north. But there
Not
was
at
a
all.
Great little bit of TV making here where right when Tully referred to Baby Doll as the perfect 10, right when he did that, it just instantly cut to a close-up of her face, like just pulled in close on her face, and like her dead expression, her dead eyes, just
like a doll's
eyes. And you know, that just
she looked good.
Let's call it an imperfect complexion. Like, this was long before HD cameras, and they were picking it up even under all that stage makeup and all those stage lights. Perfect 10, ladies and gentlemen. Perfect 10.
You're drinking as much as she is at nights, you know. Let's see what happens to your face.
Well, I've got a beard, so that's why. I don't want people to see this face.
Oh, God. Oh.
Let's move on to your number two.
My number two? No, let's move on to your number two, because I think yours comes before mine, or no, maybe not. Mine's,
You peeking over here? Peeking
I'm trying
hands?
To, yeah, I cheat sometimes.
Jesus,
that's how I got
Christ.
Through school.
I don't know how we're going to continue this if we can't do it in good faith.
I have America's favorite goobers.
The Rock and Roll Express?
Yep.
Okay,
not
so...
Not my favorite.
We'll start off a little bit, yeah, because I'm rolling the Rock and Rolls in here with the Russians.
Okay.
And just the way they're building this feud. Because we got a big world tag title match coming up
yeah, I
at
guess you
Starrcade
could qualify
the Gathering.
That, huh?
So what do? We give the Russians a match, and we give the Rock and Roll a match. You put them back to back, and you make both teams look dominating as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians squash some guys in a real good squash match. They looked unbeatable, man. These guys are thick as shit. They're rugged looking. Nikita's just no-selling everything, just begging people to hit him in the face. And they're like, no, it doesn't even
just
register.
Nothing.
Like, just so these guys look like they can't even touch the Russians. It makes it look like nobody could touch the Russians. And then you just, like, segue
right
real
in
smoothly
there.
Into that Rock and Roll Express match,
mm-hmm.
which, what'd you think about that?
It was
really resistant to this Rock and Roll.
I feel like you've got a
Vince McMahon Southern bias, man.
I do not care for the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, come on.
Even though Dave Crockett told me 5 million times how much they have the desire.
Absolutely.
The
These
desire.
Guys are fired up.
You understand the desire. What stood out to me the most was how Mr. Gibson didn't do shit in the match and doesn't do shit at all for their team.
That's the formula, man. He comes in at the end.
He doesn't do nothing. And even when he comes in, he hits a drop kick that somebody else is already hitting. And
man,
if you watch every time...
He had to cut the promos.
If you watch every time Morton's feet hit first.
Well, nobody's going to deny that Ricky Morton's one of the greatest workers of all time. Yeah. But, you know,
Gibson, but they cut a promo later in the show, and Gibson doesn't say shit. He just stands there.
Hey, man. He was better than Ricky.
He looks...
He could talk better than Ricky, I'll tell you that much.
He always looks like he's guilty of something, and he's just, like, looking around for, like, somebody to figure it out. Like, well,
maybe the problem was...
I think they're on to me.
He started off his career in a tag team with his brother, Ricky Gibson. So we had Ricky and Robert Gibson, and his brother Ricky was the older brother. He brought him into the business. He held his hand. He was a real...
boring brother.
Nah, he had a... great matches. He was a real, you know, like up and comer. And then I think he got in some horrible accident or whatever, and his career ended. And then they stick him with another guy named Ricky. And I think Robert's just not sure that it's not his brother.
Are you my brother?
I think he still kind of thinks he's with his brother, but like
Ricky, are you my brother? Like,
I don't remember you being blonde.
Is that why I always look suspicious?
Yeah, like
I don't think
looks like you put on a couple pounds, Ricky.
I gotta talk to Ma. I don't think you... No, man.
Either way, these guys, they're showing that they got the fire to maybe climb that mountain of these Russians. I wish these little fucking assholes that wrestle these days would wrestle like these guys. These guys who think they're having these high-paced, high-flying, exciting matches. Really, they're just doing these synchronized gymnastics routines, flipping on each other.
How about a cowl or elbow tie-up, huh?
Bumping off each other, light as a feather. Everything these goddamn guys do hits light as a feather. These guys are, yeah, these collar and elbow tie-ups, they're snapping them in. They're doing them hard.
Taking it to
they're hitting
the
ropes
street.
Hard. Even their arm drags. They're whipping those arm drags around, just taking these guys to the mat hard. Like, these guys are wrestling fast-paced. They got fire. They got fight. This is everything that made Shawn Michaels a great main eventer. Like, and it's everything these new guys think that they're doing, that guys like Michaels and guys like these guys did, that they're not. You need to be able to sell that you're hurt so the fans get behind you.
Well,
and
are you
once
trying to tell me
Mr.
Michaels doesn't know how to sell?
No, I'm saying Michaels is the master of it. I'm saying these guys are right up there with him. And these young guys, they're picking all the wrong things out of these guys' matches and saying this is what you do to be... the smaller guy.
Cocaine,
fast,
bright
exciting.
Colors, move around.
It's all about fire. It's all about getting in there tight, getting in there hard, running those ropes hard, showing some fire when you're coming back. Punch people. Just punch them a bunch, but like fast and like mean and like you fucking mean it.
And fight guys like the Jeffers brothers, Jim and Mac
These
Jeffers.
Guys, man, they could move.
Perennial blue chippers. Oh,
they
I thought.
Like garbage.
I thought they deserved the title shot,
yeah,
not Rock and Roll
Express.
Yeah,
I thought they were
going
to be lumps of shit. That, like, the Rock and Roll had to just, like, you know, move around the ring and basically have that proverbial broomstick match with. But these guys didn't look like they could do much. But once they started moving, man, it was impressive. Little
they're
diamonds
like
in the rough, these Jeffers.
They were like a dark-haired, doughier version of the Andersons, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd say so. These guys had a little bit of a better look. Maybe, like, you know, they could project some sort of personality and not just look like a couple of...
I don't see why they have
confused
to.
Uncles.
When Mr. Gibson never projects any kind of personality.
Do you hear anybody out in that audience shrieking for the Jeffers?
Yeah, just the John Cena fans.
For fucking Mr. Gibson.
Disgusting.
These people love him because the Rock and Roll consistently has the greatest goddamn tag team matches that have ever been wrestled. And the fans appreciate that. And they appreciate all the random bandanas they have tied to their limbs.
You mean those teeny boppers and the training bras?
Oh, yeah, that's right. The big girls in the full sweaters, too. I saw a couple of them out there.
No.
Not many of them. They were waiting for the boogie-woogie man to come out. But until then, they were had no problem looking at the Rock and Roll. You're going to come around on these guys. You're going to come around on the Midnights. You're going to see...
Never.
You're going to see that this Southern wrestling has its merits.
It ain't the Rock and Roll Express.
All right, what's number three?
Number three would be the Championship Challenge Series match of Billy Jack Haynes versus Thunderfoot.
Versus Thunderfoot. You like this one, huh? See,
it was
I was questioning why this is the only match on the goddamn card that got any time.
It was boring, but I really like how they're trying to put over Billy Jack Haynes. To me, he's clearly, they're like, this guy's going to be something. This guy's going to be something.
Yeah, he's got a good look.
They give him yeah, he does. He's got a great look. They give him a nice little TV match here. You got Thunderfoot. He's not just a regular old jobber like a old boy before. He's like a upper echelon jobber.
They got him in like a silver top,
silver mask.
And he's
one black boot with a white bottom, one black boot with a black bottom.
He looked like a Jiffy Pop pouch that was just about to burst. Like popcorn is about to start coming everywhere.
This match is
a little muffin top on that guy.
Can this young, inexperienced Billy Jack overcome the odds, you know?
He was kind of a wily veteran. This, what is it, Thunderfoot? Was that his
Thunderfoot,
name?
Yep, wily like, veteran. Yeah. He was with Mr. Dillon.
At first, I thought he was going to have some sort of Native American gimmick, but
yeah,
no,
so did
saying,
I. Nope.
He's got that boot that he loads up.
He's got that loaded boot.
Knocks that. I guess I did like the loaded boot.
He has to knock the weight.
Yeah.
To one end of the boot to
See,
the
I thought
other.
This match went a little bit too long.
It did. It did.
It was kind of repetitive because Thunderfoot wasn't getting any offense, but he wasn't getting put away either. So they just kept doing the same thing over and over again. Yeah. But once they got to the end there where, he's looking to load up that boot, the crowd was all over that. They did not want to see him kick Billy Jack with that loaded boot.
Crockett, Dave Crockett describes Billy Jack's arms as trees, and this is like the third or fourth individual that he's described in that manner in the evening.
Also, he's back to calling everything good. That's the one adjective he knows.
Hey, look at that dropkick. That's good.
Good dropkick.
That's good.
Good takeover.
Hey, that's good.
Good headlock.
But Billy Jack.
Get a thesaurus, asshole.
I'd just like to say.
Come from a rich family.
Mr. Billy Jack, he's a powerhouse.
Real powerhouse.
He's a high flyer.
Mm-hmm.
You seen his jumps?
Yeah, yeah.
He was
definitely.
Getting some vertical.
He was.
He's a mat technician.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
Stu Hart trained.
And he looks like he knows a little bit of that Briscoe hillbilly kung fu.
Mm, yeah.
He's always doing the hands.
He needs his promos, a little corny, little generic. I think he needs to get some of that Hacksaw Jim Duggan half-tard going. Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, tough guy.
Yeah, if he just stupided it up three or four more degrees.
Oh, that makes me mad. Yeah.
He was just punch drunk all the time. And we thought maybe this guy got hurt in a construction accident and he wasn't right anymore. So now he had to become a wrestler.
Speaking of
I can see that working for him. Rather than just being I want to talk about my dad who I love.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Speaking of getting hurt, he gave a nice shout out to his dad that broke his leg.
White meat baby
face
stuff.
He was in a retirement village or something, and he cared a lot about his daddy.
Yeah, this guy's too jacked up and
cared a lot about my daddy.
Stuff. That's for the hometown skinny boy. This guy needs to be doing
cared a lot about my daddy.
Big old lunkhead dumb promos.
Cared a lot about my daddy.
Speaking of daddy's daddy. My number three.
Oh, that's right, Daddy.
Dusty Rhodes.
The big return to television, Daddy.
Coming back. Going back to that hard times
the
promo,
dweem.
Daddy. You
the
know,
dweem.
That hard times promo.
When?
Legendary promo.
My question.
People still talk about it today.
Yeah, that's right, Daddy. When did he make the turn from late 70s, early 80s, shucking and jiving pimp to a blue-collar cowboy?
Oh, I see. The thing is, get into that a little bit. He doesn't really make the turn. It's a thing that he goes back and forth.
He just goes back and forth?
Fluidly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
This Hard Times promo, this is word for word his Hard Times promo, but it's not the one you see whenever they're showing highlights of the Hard Times promo these days in the video packages. But they're showing he's got the Mid-Atlantic backdrop, not the World Championship Wrestling backdrop. He's in one of those slick suits. It had to have been a couple weeks before this. He filmed that, and he's just repeating it word for word here, but it's a great promo. There's a reason. He probably just wants to, that promo knocked everybody out, so now he's trying to do it on this national audience here on TBS so everybody can see it. Smart move. This is basically, he's just weaving a tapestry of poetic Americana here. It's beautiful.
I wasn't buying it.
Talking about the working man, tying the working man's struggles into his own struggles.
He doesn't care.
This is a screaming 80s pro wrestling version of a Bruce Springsteen song, and I know
appreciate
that.
Yeah.
Play coy with me.
I don't
this is
appreciate
beautiful
this
right
guy.
Here. You don't appreciate Dusty Rhodes?
No.
This is bullshit.
He's
You've had Dusty
in.
Rhodes be one of your favorite three guys in our
he's
first three count.
I get what he's going for, but I'm
being
not
very contrarian. Yeah. He's got some of that Hogan in him, too.
He does.
That just utter horror salesmanship.
Yeah, he's worried
which
about
is why he's at the top here.
Yeah.
Hogan's at the top up there. Not only is he selling what's going to happen in this match, he's telling you where the match is going to happen, when the match is going to happen, how you can buy this match, and he's just
how we're
going to
gather together for this gathering.
That's right. He's telling you to reach out and touch his hands because you're one, and once you give that money to watch the Starcade on closed circuit,
Daddy.
We're all going to drink the Kool-Aid and die together in glorious suicidal revolution.
I was weirded out about how worried he was about Skynet stealing people's jobs.
Well, I mean...
Was that the moral of his...
Has it not happened? Hard times, daddy.
Hard times, daddy.
You get sent home with a gold watch because a computer took your job.
It's going to look pretty fucking real to you, daddy.
Yes, you're the one living in a fucking dream world, Solomon. Because right now in 2017, what's going on? Globalization, motherfuckers. No more jobs in America. Trump ain't bringing them back. Sorry, hillbillies.
Wow.
Yeah, wake up call.
Wow. So
Dusty knew it all the way back then.
Dusty's kind of like a Linda Hamilton.
He's a lot like a Linda Hamilton. That's only cool.
But he cannot do one-arm pull-ups.
I was just going to say.
Cannot.
Like, slightly less ripped.
Splotchamania running wild on you,
slightly
daddy.
Less ripped than that Linda Hamilton.
Daddy, daddy. So where do we go from here?
Here, we're moving into number four, I guess.
It's number four, but it deserves the top spot because it's the best moment
like
of the evening.
When the main event is Terry Taylor, the last thing we talk about is probably not going to be the best, but this is chronological. We're just going through these highlights.
I know, but I want to point out how it's the best.
Well, that's fair. Yeah. You should point out that it's the best.
Why? Because it's my number one pick to click. That's right.
Who?
Talking about the Boogie Woogie Man, baby. That's
my
right.
number four,
yeah,
too.
Baby, baby.
Jimmy Valiant, salesman. That's what I wrote
and
down.
You're like, here's this awesome guy with this kick-ass beard. And this powerful woman that can knock anybody out.
This feminist icon.
How is he going
to
be better?
Next
yeah.
to both of them
How's he
going to
be better this week than he was last week? Big Mama. The inclusion of Big Mama.
And a lot more talk about street
she
people.
She looked great. Oh, we were talking about street people. Boogie Woogie Man, he's a number one top gent. And he wanted to go out of his way to thank Big Mama for finding the street lady, you know?
Combing the streets.
Yeah. He's.
Where do you think Big Mama comes from? Because I'm picturing her as being like a waitress at the like roadside diner that Boogie Woogie Man spends all his time in. I can, you can't just see her being like, fill up your coffee, sugar.
I could see her being from Bad Streets.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I could see her being from
Atlanta,
Detroit.
GA.
I
think
RoboCop.
Definitely south of the Mason-Dixon. I'm picturing
yeah,
her coming
boobies.
From.
That's a good point.
I think she's got trucks operating all over her, brother.
Well, you know.
I've seen a lot of lizards in my day.
Boogie Woogie Man travels around, so
he does.
He gets to every corner. But you know, he's about street people USA.
You could find these two in any hillbilly bar across the country, in any sort of small trailer trash
but
town.
Not
is
quite.
A great thing. They're sort of like Paul Bunyan in that way. They're these mythical figures, but they're, you know, homespun salt of the earth myths. Like they're coming out of you know, the day to day life of the working man, you and me. And maybe not day to day, night to night, because they're more about the nightlife.
Night
than they
to
are.
Night,
yeah.
Giving the order. Do we have the rights to that? Can I sing that?
I think didn't you write that?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
You were doing a lot of cocaine back then. You have the rights to that song.
I am Baltimora.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Forgot about that. But yeah, these guys, they're third shifters all the way.
They're fucking authentic, man.
Yeah.
You believe that they are street people.
6-7 in the morning, and you hit the bar.
That's what works in pro wrestling. You got to make people believe you are what you say you are. And I believe that these people are street people, man. I want to be a street person, too.
You're going to be.
You think I got it in me?
Buddy, I'm one of the
let me pound some more of this beer.
Foremost experts on street people USA.
You're becoming it, I can tell.
Well, I'm currently in the process of getting my doctorate. And you got a lot of potential. You got what it takes to be a Super Bowl player.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to rub some dirt on my face a little bit.
It's
like,
not
going to
hurt your chances.
Touches.
Not going to hurt your chances.
Man, you got this Miss Atlanta Lively, though.
Yep.
She's coming out here, and every single one of these fucking people on this show, all these announcers, everybody, acting like they believe that this is a real woman. They look
what is?
Stupid as hell. This is a terrible, dumb storyline.
Excuse me?
Leading to nothing, except
she's
for when the Boogie Woogie Man addresses it. And you look in his eyes, and you know that he does believe that this is a real woman.
Because she's a woman.
Really does love her.
Her name's Miss Atlanta Lively, not Mr.
We're back to this again.
Atlanta Lively.
I tried to get all this out of your system last week. Talk about hottest valets. Just get all this perv out of your system. You're just
but
stuck
that's a
on
woman.
This Miss Atlanta Lively.
Yeah. I have it under good authority.
Her curvaceous va-va-voom has gotten under your skin.
She is the second aunt twice removed of Blake Lively.
Wait, that would make her the second aunt twice removed also of Teen Witch star Robin Lively.
I see you're familiar with the Lively family.
I am.
But you've excluded Miss Atlanta Lively.
It all comes from Miss Atlanta's the base of that tree, huh?
Yeah, she's a real lady.
Well, she eventually sprung some ripe fruit, you know what I'm saying?
Teach their own. You know, Boogie Woogie and I didn't have a problem with her.
No.
The jerk.
Me either. This is a great promo.
Yeah.
Jimmy Valiant. It's just a shame he's got to go into a match that, you know.
What? Against the Midnight Express? And Jim Cornette?
I mean, these guys are just going to beat the shit out of each other and like...
For what?
For no reason.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's all... Like, I don't even know why anybody's mad. It's just this transvestite keeps showing up.
They haven't bothered establishing
so
that,
they're going to have like a no rules street fight over
Jim Cornette thinks he's better than you. He doesn't give any respect to street people USA. And Boogie Woogie ain't going to stand for that. And that's why he said... It's going to be an Atlanta street fight. It's going to be anything goes, especially your clothes. He's going to strip them naked and then bust them open with a chain.
Yeah. I just hope that you don't shed a tear when Jim Cornette gets that Miss Atlanta Lively with a little racket shot.
Don't talk like that.
I'm telling you, it's coming.
Don't talk like that.
He's always got tricks up his sleeves,
man. He's going to steal their clothes.
He's always got tricks up his sleeves.
They're fine.
Yeah,
let's go.
That's our number four. We're in agreement. We got to move on to our final highlight of the evening.
One, two, three,
what do you got?
Oh, turns out I didn't even find one.
It's hard to come up with another one at this point.
I think Boogie Woogie was my fifth. Yeah, I was ahead of you.
We're just going to go.
We had one that differed.
Back to Arn Anderson. Number five. Second promo from Arn Anderson. He's coming out
again. That's fine with me. I got some points I'd like to point out.
That's how, you know, valuable he is with this company. They're bringing him out. This was what, like third promo of the night? And goddamn, this is a beautiful one. We're coming up on the formation of the Four Horsemen. We've been talking about it. And he actually names them here. This might have been the first time. Probably the first time on television, unless like maybe in some of the local shows he's said it once or twice. But he refers to him and Tully... And Rick and Ole as the Four Horsemen of Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, weaves together all their stories into one big narrative where there's a bigger picture. It's all coming towards Starrcade. He's doing a great goddamn sell job, but he's not just, you know, sounding like a hype man suit out there trying to sell a pay-per-view. He's talking about how there's a reckoning coming. And, you know, Arn and Ole, they're going to be, you know, basically breaking people's legs again.
Ole said, the Andersons like to hear bones crack.
Absolutely. They will break your leg just because they like to hear bones crack. And they
that don't get your dick hard.
But promised that they are going to be standing outside of that World Championship match when Ric Flair is fighting Dusty Rhodes. And they're going to jump Dusty Rhodes and they're going to break his leg again. You know,
they're bringing all the Andersons
in. Deal with it.
In.
We're telling you. Yeah.
They're trucking in.
Have you been to Minnesota?
They're trucking in all of Minnesota.
Minnesota is lousy with Andersons.
Yeah. But that means if they're bringing all of Minnesota to Starrcade, Ric Flair's doctor father will be there in attendance.
The greatest physician in the entire town.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I think he's got one of those accents, even though he's real smart.
Yeah,
Ricky, I got to go down to the doctor's office and, you know, treat some patients today, eh?
Oh, it's 55 degrees. I got my shorts on. Got the AC going, a little warm.
That's not the case.
Got a warm front coming through.
If Ric Flair's dad talked like that, I'd be so disappointed.
No, there's no way.
There's definitely no way.
There's no way. He
so,
also
yeah,
invented kiss stealing.
This was a great, just like, big, beautiful vision of things to come. These guys all coming together. Your enemies are my enemies. We're sick of all you fucking suits just trying to screw us over and not let us cheat.
Yeah.
We're sick of all you good guys trying to come back after we break your leg once.
Like right.
Go away, idiot.
It's
coming.
Like, they cheat here and there.
They here and there.
Break a leg here and there.
Once or twice.
But like, you're constantly getting in their faces about, you can't do this, you can't do that. I'm stacking the deck against you, you know? I'm constantly deck being stacked against them.
Real bummers.
So, like, who's the real bad guy here? You know? A guy trying to get a competitive edge?
Capitalism.
Or a guy just constantly getting buried for no good reason because he wants to win more than you do.
The worker can't make it in this
system. Because he wants to win more than you
do. He's got
to
rise up.
Yeah. Then they're doing this.
Revolution.
They're doing this on their own.
Revolt.
Revolt. They're doing it all on their own. They don't have the stupid fans supporting them and this and that. You know, like, it makes me sick. Dusty Rhodes.
Have you seen those
fans? He's the bad guy in all of this.
Who would want their support?
I saw a couple beautiful women in attendance.
The front row, man. A
couple
somebody
of beautiful
had,
women.
Somebody had some rats lined up for after this
Ooh,
show.
Yeah, you noticed them too,
they
huh?
Were
they had the
sequins,
full makeup going.
They, yeah,
the full makeup.
Full face of makeup. Whole shoebox full of earrings.
You know,
dangly
my,
ones.
My sister wears a lot of eye makeup. A lot of people say she looks like a whore.
Mm-hmm.
That's Charlie Sheen. Ferris
oh.
Bueller.
Okay.
But there was a lot of eye makeup, and that's why I thought
I
of
think
that.
You had a sister.
Yeah. I want to point something out real quick because you mentioned the whole earring thing.
No, we're
and
not
I'm
done.
Talk briefly. Oh,
okay.
No, you got more?
No, no. I'm just saying you got more.
No, I just, yeah, I want to talk real quick about Paul Jones yelling about the Barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
yeah.
Not only Jim Crockett, but his own manager, Paul Jones, referred to him as Barbarian.
Paul Jones, like I said last time we were talking
Barbarian.
WCW, not a great manager, but
no.
He doesn't manage because he's a manager, and just being a manager is enough. And he's doing a screaming 80s promo, and he doesn't have much good to say,
no.
And he's misspeaking, and he's just kind of jerk. But
well,
he's red in the face.
Yeah, he's mad because...
It doesn't matter what you say as long as you're red in the face.
Superstar Billy Graham was calling him every book in the name.
Yeah.
His words,
how
not mine.
Him.
Calling him every book in the name.
Not as half as smart as you think
no,
I am.
But he had the greatest line of the night, and that's why I have to bring him up. You
oh,
know I
okay.
like to listen for the lines.
Yep, let's end it. This will be your number five officially since you didn't actually
no, I had a
have
number five.
One,
I had
so
five of them. This
whatever.
Is like this five plus. He pointed out superstar Billy Graham would break his own mother's arm for $5
mm-hmm.
and would do anything for an earring. Superstar had a lot of dangly earrings. Shoebox fulls.
Dangly ones.
Dangly ones.
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes with the three count.
Three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Look out!
It's the mutant psycho savage, no mercy, demolition.
Freeze!
Legion of Doom! What do road warriors wear on the road to destruction?
Bruce.
Bruce! Shoes for your feet, pockets for your stuff.
Hey, mate, what do you do when you see a crocodile?
You run, you slide, you hit the pump, take a dive.
It's Crocodile Mile, the great new water slide with splashdown pool.
Yeah.
And the incredible boomerang bump that sends you flying. But watch out for the crocs.
You run, you slide, you hit the pump, take a dive.
Crocodile Mile, with boomerang bump and giant splashdown pool. New from Marshall.
It's time, everybody. It's the segment that you know and love. We made it famous ourselves.
There's starting to be a lot of buzz about it. I've been seeing around the playground.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah.
Playgrounds at the old school
yeah.
that I hang out at.
There's five Reddit accounts
kids
dedicated to it.
Children are talking.
Children? Listen
yeah.
what they say. There's
they're
like a
future.
Lot of songs that talk,
yeah.
Talking about like children and what they got to say. And no one was listening to him except Bill Cosby, and he was just trying to figure out
Floyd, where, like, all the
which ones he was
going to
roofie later. Yeah. Kids dying. Just dying kids. It's
another
magic.
Brick in the wall, man.
What are we talking about? What
you got
happened?
A revolt against the system.
You got a lot of
the system is,
feelings about systems and whatever.
It's all corrupt, man. It's all corrupt, and it's making sure that we're living down here in misery while, you know, all these fat cats up there on Capitol Hill are... living, you know, high off the hog, buddy.
You and Dusty are too worried about Skynet.
It's the whole thing. They got their thumb on the scale, man.
Nah, there's no scales. They took those
attention.
Down years ago. Except if they're those big old Toledo scales to measure fatties.
Holy Toledo.
Holy
they still got
Toledo.
Those?
Yeah, they still got them.
This week, we've got a
three
topic
count.
That's appropriate to 80s wrestling, which
yeah.
is what we try to do.
We had our first appearance on this show. Of the Barbarian.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. He's got a...
He's got
face paint on.
He's got face paint on.
We're talking face paint. That's a staple of 1980s pro wrestling. Who's got the best face paint?
Talking face paint.
Who's got, you know, maybe the most memorable face paint? Who's got the prettiest face paint? I don't know. You might go prettiest.
Oh, yeah.
It's pro wrestling is a multifaceted sport. It's not
oh,
just
it's a many
all
splendored
about just aggression
thing.
And just, you know, violence.
A many splendored thing.
It's a sweet ballet, I think. The
mm-hmm.
sweet science, they call it something like that.
Yeah.
Sport of Kings.
King of Kings?
That's a good show. Have you seen that show?
Yep.
No, I was thinking of King of Queens. Sorry.
Oh. Well, maybe they could do a show where Kevin James is gay and married to Triple H, and they just call it King of Kings.
I also like King of the Hill.
Yeah, it's a fine show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when he's like, oh, that boy
Right. Oh, that boy Right. Oh, I'll tell you what.
That's funny to me.
God dang it, Bobby.
It's true. That kid's weird.
Yeah, he's weird. That's okay, though. Face paint.
Let's get into it. I love wrestlers with face paint. Every wrestler should have face paint, if you ask me.
All of them.
Who's your number three?
Number three.
Face painted wrestler.
Number three. And he gets to be on there because it's not just his faint. His faint? It's not just his faint he's pacing.
No,
it or his face that he's painting.
Sure.
He's also painting them titties. I'm talking about the Ugandan giant.
Yeah.
Kamala.
Also my number three.
Really?
I picked him, yeah.
Oh, that's
great.
Right
out the gate.
I like...
We're on the same page.
He's got sweet paint that covers his eyes, most of his beard, and then the top of that bald head, and then the piece de resistance is the skeleton lips that he paints on himself.
Yeah,
I really enjoy
that.
That's nice to me.
Karate Kid touch.
That's nice to me.
I gotta tell you, this guy was very believable to me when I was a little kid. Like,
he was a wild man.
Sure, sure. You know, these days, with the benefit of hindsight, we know he was just a hillbilly from Mississippi known to
type 2
Sugar
diabetic.
Bear Harris. But back in the day, something about this guy, just his facial expressions, his mannerisms,
it was all there.
Slapping his belly. Like, yeah. I believe that he was a wild cannibal from fucking Uganda. And that face paint was, you know, pretty simple, just a little black and a little white, but very effective to be in that final,
great.
Just like cherry on top of the crazy cannibal asshole sundae.
Yeah.
Like, if this guy got a hold of me, he was going to start gnawing on my leg. I was sure of that. And could he speak English? No way.
No.
Like, to this day, there's no way this guy could speak English.
That's why he had Harvey Whippleman.
He's a spooky other. He's not
true.
The same as us. We don't wear face paint. That's the magic of face paint. You get a good layer of face paint going on, and you're not just a normal asshole just going to, you know, disappear into the crowd like a Terry Taylor. Like a smug face, just like a C-minus student Terry Taylor, just riding that slightly low average into mediocrity for his entire life.
His whole damn life.
Yeah, number three. Both ways around, Kamala. He looked good. I even liked Kamala, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, later on, they had that ripoff in ECW or whatever in the 90s.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know what the story was, but, you know, you put
we'll
that Kamala paint
it.
On a guy, and I'll watch him wrestle some dudes.
Which one of them lost their feet?
That was definitely
Kamala?
Original Kamala. That's Sugar Bear Harris. Poor man. Double amputee at this point. I think he's still alive. That was years ago.
His name's Sugar Bear. Of course he lost his feet to diabetes.
Diabetic troubles. Man, loved his sweet treats.
Oh, sweet
loves
treats.
His sweet treats. Still alive as far
sweet
as I
treat
know.
Terrors.
That's what I was just saying. No RIPs this week.
No.
No longer a death podcast. We are a podcast that celebrates life.
Death pod.
Long, long, never-ending, punishing life.
We should just rename this show Death Pod. That's kind of cool.
And there's a lot of those going around, just like
Death Pod.
You know, like indie girls who are like, I'm super into serial killers and stuff. Like, isn't that interesting to you?
Not really.
It's big on the internet right now.
Oh.
Girls who are into serial killers.
I've always liked Charles Manson, but
you've dated a couple girls who were into serial killers. Yeah. Memory. Never ends well.
Warm in here.
Okay, let's move on. Let's go to number two. What do you got for number two?
Number two. I wanted tag teams. You told me I couldn't take teams, so I had to pick one guy.
Yeah, I said you could tag teams if they had identical face paint.
Nobody has identical face paint, man. Everybody's got subtle nuances, man.
Subtle nuances.
Subtle nuances.
You know, I take, like, the Powers of Pain was pretty identical.
That's
There's
fair.
Not much going on there.
But I found a way to pick out my own.
Okay.
And
if you
I'm
like
going
the other
with,
guy, too, give him an honorable mention.
I don't. I do not like the other guy.
Well, then
guy,
what are you complaining
funny,
about?
I gotta,
now you don't got to talk about him.
The honorable mention I have is to a team that's semi-similar. I'm just going to get it out with there. Number two, I'm going with Road Warrior Animal.
Sure.
Not Hawk.
No.
Hawk's paint looked like shit. It was consistent. He always had the same, but it was always stupid.
Going on.
But yeah, Animals was cool with the spider web and the points and whatever. But I was going to give honorable mention to Smash of Demolition.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Axes was always phoned in, but Smashes was always cool, except for sometimes where it just kind of looked like a little kid coloring outside of the lines.
Well, and that's like, why it was cool, because this guy was, you know, a wild man.
Just
he didn't
scribbling
give a
all
shit.
Over his face. So honorable mention is going to go to Smash, But the main article here is Mr. Road Warrior Animal.
He looked good.
Yeah, that little spider web and the points and everything. Shit was always on point. And in the early mm-hmm. days when they was the Road Warriors and he had that variant blue face paint.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. That's
that was
a
back
look
when
right
they kind
there.
Of just had like a Blondie thing going on a little bit. Like they just kind of looked like it could be at a Blondie concert.
Either way.
They like got their iconic designs going in.
But that blue was the start of it.
I'm going to say Smash. She's talking about him. You're making me think about those growly, barky Smash promos he always cut. And just juxtaposed with his promos on this show where he's Crusher Khrushchev. Like, he just sounds like a nervous kid. Like, I wonder exactly at what point he learned to just be like, ah, smash right here. Yeah. And like, hey, if I just put that idiot inflection into my voice.
It seems to me like there seems to be.
I don't sound so bad because, man, his Crusher Khrushchev, he looked
just a boring, lost fat hillbilly.
But he was a little baby boy.
That's true. So that's my number two.
Okay, that's a good pick for number two. My number two, scary, scary lady by the name of Bull Nakano.
I considered...
Bull Nakano.
I considered.
What a physical presence. What a dominant athlete.
Good pick.
Maybe the best big man wrestler in all of wrestling, but she's a lady.
Wow.
She's a lady. She's a big woman wrestler.
What?
Crazy power. This chick could do it all.
She never could have beat Miss Atlanta Lively.
She could do these crazy suplexes, these crazy pile drivers, these crazy slams. She had submission moves. She could jump off the top rope, but, you know... All that would have been enough to make her huge, but her look is what made her just so memorable and just easily the greatest women's wrestler of all time. She looked crazy. Just
this insane. Certifiably.
Big, menacing woman. Just this neon hair standing straight up, just straight goddamn up. I don't know how much hairspray it took to make that happen.
I was always terrified when she showed up on TV.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about Mary's situation going on there, like en masse, though. She might have been, like, harvesting jizz to make that hair look like that. And then to offset that neon straight-up hair, she'd have her face paint, which was minimal, just a little subtle thing, but pretty cool.
Just a little splash.
Like these sort of thin zigzags across her face that kind of, I don't know, looked like her face was cracking, or maybe she had, like, some mean veins bubbling up under the surface. But either way, it just...
looked cool.
It really sold that there was, like, a monster inside of that woman, and that monster was coming out. And when that monster came out, some 90-pound Japanese girl was going to get dumped on her head real hard. Real hard. Bull Nakano made her way even to, you know,
Yamaha,
United States, wrestling for Vince in the
90s.
Based on how cool her goddamn look was. Like, you know, Vince, not much for women's wrestling, not much for foreign people, not much for fat people, but...
He hates a lot of people,
as
it turns
out. He's got a look, that man.
Yeah.
Ripped to shit Irish white dudes, essentially. But Bull Nakano, undeniable, cool face paint. Great wrestler. She's my number two.
It's a good pick, man. I thought about putting her on the list.
It's nice of you to say that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I was going out on a limb or
you
what.
You did a good job.
Your support here is
really
encouraged me to
job.
Maybe, you know, like make a few more off the beaten path picks.
Keep having
in the
independent thought. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, my confidence is growing.
I'm proud of you.
Like a little tree that's been watered.
Yeah. You're one of the fucking losers that Dusty Rhodes talked about earlier. Just living life in America.
Losers or, you know, proletariat who is destined to inherit the earth once they throw off the shackles of the owners and take what's rightfully theirs, the means of production.
Well, you can see where that got Dusty. He died.
That's true.
Yeah.
But he lived a lot of good years.
A many good year.
The splotch couldn't put him down.
Yeah, what is that splotch?
The
email us if you know.
Put him down.
Email us if you know what that splotch is.
He lived a lot of good years.
I got my number one.
Oh, wow. You did a number one?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be big then. I'm ready to hear it.
His name is Mr. Muta.
Oh, the great Muta.
The greatest, the Muta.
Man, Muta's definitely somebody I'd consider. I just talked about him last week, so I was like, you know...
I just figured it was obvious.
I'd give some little love to other people, but
how do you
I'm
not pick
agree.
Him, though? He's got like 5,000 face paints.
Different variations, but all recognizably Muta.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're all terrifying.
Yeah, definitely. He's
like that guy
full
killed
face
it.
Of paint. It's not like, you know, some shit around the eyes or a little clown makeup around the mouth or whatever.
No. And it's not just like, oh, I spit stuff into your face that can kill you.
But he does do that, though.
But he does. And then, like, on top of that, his face was painted, which is scary.
Mm.
A lot of scary ways.
Yeah.
And I don't care to relive it.
A little bit of a homage or a continuation of the Great Kabuki and his gimmick, but Great Kabuki kind of just always looked like he was smearing some paint all over his face. Like just
he
like
phoned
a,
it in a little.
Yeah, a little bit of like a cheap, just like a local haunted house attraction or something where Muda took what he was doing.
Muda made it real.
Yeah, he, you know, made it into something classier, something more iconic. I could see what's going on there. He's great. I love him.
So, yeah.
I picked a number one, too.
What'd you got?
Well, you know, I'm thinking about the pantheon of face-painted people. And
I like pantheons.
Yeah, you got some big, gigantic wrestlers all have face paint in the 80s. Rightly so, because having face paint's awesome.
You're going with Shark
you got
from Dungeon
Sting.
Of Doom?
Sting. He's the number one guy in WCW towards
Ooh.
The late 80s.
Ooh,
he's
I know
got
him.
That great face paint. He's always just got great color combinations. You know, he started off in a tag team with Ultimate Warrior.
Blade
Ultimate
Runners?
Warrior was great. Yeah, they were Blade Runners, from what I understand, and Ultimate Warrior kind of stepped up Sting's design a little bit. Like,
Ooh.
Did the same interesting color combinations, but he did that little point up top and the little point down the nose, which gave
yeah.
it, like, more of a trademarked shape. Something you
yep.
could sell a mask of, something that, like, looked iconic. People could.
Oh, and they did.
You know, recognize it right away.
Oh,
and
they
like,
did.
It was great. And he just took something that Sting did that was very successful and made it better. But both these guys, as this jacked up, face-painted tag team, was mm-hmm. just trying to cash in on something started by the Road Warriors. So my number
yeah.
one is also Road Warrior Animal.
Wow.
He's got my favorite face paint.
Wow.
He's kind of got something similar to what Sting and the Warrior were doing, but even more intricate. And,
yeah.
like, more interesting in, like, its design.
Spider. It's that spider
well,
spider web,
around
man.
The other, like, it's got some oblong, weird geometrical patterns, but still
True.
Simple enough to where, like, if you just showed somebody who loved 80s wrestling the outline of it, like, they instantly know, like, oh, that's Road Warrior Animal's paint.
Yeah.
And then he was smart enough to put that gigantic fucking spider on his forehead to cap it all off, which was
yeah.
just genius. Like, that looks so creepy, so great, made him look like a just badass, like
yeah.
killer. Yeah, Road Warrior Animal.
He looked like something out of Road Warrior.
Number one face paint. He
yeah.
Did great on our top three list here.
He did good for himself. He cleaned up all right.
So, and you know, he's still alive too. And
yeah,
he ended up good. That
so
Road Warrior.
His,
you didn't know where things were gonna go. That hawk.
Brother, his
it
son?
Just teaches you something. Like
oh.
you half-ass your face paint,
you
things
fall
aren't
off
gonna
the
end
Titan
well for your
Tron.
Brother. Yeah.
You half-ass the face paint, you fall off the Titantron.
Drunk and falling off Trons.
Oh, man. Who let him up there? Who let him up there? Who? Somebody should have been watching a little more carefully. I feel that's a little
at
reckless.
At the end of the day, I mean, it's Vince McMahon's show. Blame's got to go down in his head.
Speaking of falling off Titantrons and way the hell up in the air, can we do a show one day that's just dedicated to the lighting people on fire match between Sting and Vampiro?
Just like a 1 hour long deep dive on
and
that
we
match.
We just go, it's just nothing but that match.
I really thought you were going to say we should climb to the top of a Tron and declare ourselves the kings of wrestling.
Well, I'm not against that either.
If we can get our podcast equipment up there and podcast from the top of the Tron before,
a,
you know.
We got a pretty light setup.
Before security drags us down there.
We got a pretty light setup, I think
yeah,
so.
That'd make us the kings
yeah.
of wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down to just go in deep dive, just talking about that Inferno match. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe do a little bit of like background stuff on Vampiro's career.
Oh,
like,
don't. You're messing with me, and I don't. I resent that.
What led to him being a main
being the
eventer,
best ever?
Him and Sting just lighting the world on fire, no pun
Vampiro.
Intended. But that
Vampiro was my guy.
Feud that just broke all sorts of records.
Yeah, Vampiro
the box
was my guy.
And at the gate.
I feel like you're not talking for real, but I am.
You know, he has a little. I heard him in an interview once where when he's on a plane.
Okay.
He has this little card that he hands the the flight attendant.
That lets people know he's Vampiro.
It lets people know that he's like a Krav Maga expert. So if they have any problems with anybody on the plane, she should come and get him and ask him to, like, I don't know, restrain a terrorist or whatever.
I work.
Fat old Vampiro is just like, hey, you don't have Steven Seagal on this plane, but you got the next best thing.
I just want you to know I work for the man.
Yeah.
And that's a common thing with law enforcement.
They all carry
people that
around
used
these
to be
cards?
In law enforcement. Yeah, a lot of times
airplane
they will.
Cards?
Yeah, they'll hand them out just
one.
To let you know, like, hey, I'm in law enforcement. Shit goes down. I got your back.
I want to be like, hey, I'm a podcaster. Yeah. Like,
if shit goes down,
if you need,
I need you to jump in front of me.
If you need a couple of just smug white guys to sit around and
talk
snark
shit about
over
what's happening.
Yeah. Like, you know, I've got a lot of experience with this. Are you familiar with the podcast?
Have you ever heard two white guys sit in a room and just
smugly snark over niche entertainment?
You look like more of an FM fan. This might be above you.
Hey, haircut, come here. I got to talk to you about what might go down on this plane.
Yeah. But that's awesome that he's like,
wash off that perfume.
He's like, fuck the police. I'm Vampiro.
What is that air marshal? What's he going to do? Like,
what's
he
going to do that Vampiro can't do?
On Mexican soap operas? Yeah. No.
Is he 6'2", jacked, got sweet face paint?
Jacked.
Used to be jacked?
Used to be jacked.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
God. Okay, so my number one goes to Vampiro.
Number one.
Best face paint ever.
When did he debut in Mexico? You know, I don't think he hits that NBA jam.
Vampiro Canadiens?
I don't think he hits that NBA jam.
Vampiro Canadiens.
He might have been 93. It could have been. We'll have to.
He might have been.
Somebody bing that for us and tell us. We might do a retroactive here. Yeah.
If he
debuted before NBA Jam was released and the 90s officially started,
he's my number one.
He could be Matt's number one.
He's my number one.
If not a number one. That's going to be it for this week.
Yeah, that's it.
Next week.
Ooh,
are we
going to
do it
going?
Next week? Do you want to keep doing this?
Yeah.
We've been doing this for a while now. It's just like a habit now.
I'm not over it yet, yeah.
Probably we're not going to be able to stop now.
It's an excuse
like
for
this.
Me to drink on a Monday night.
Yeah, you need an excuse. I've seen your Monday nights, buddy.
Oh.
Yeah, next week we're coming back, going back up north, visiting Vince's palatial palace there in Stamford, Connecticut, where they record Primetime Wrestling. We're going to be watching episode number 62 that aired on May. Got to count on my fingers here. May 5th,
1986.
5-5-86. So come on back.
Baby oil.
And?
Oh.